Sabbath blessings and greetings, one and all, and welcome to our main church service on this beautiful Sabbath day of the 9th of December, 2023. Almost to the end of the calendar year, and this year has gone by pretty fast. I wonder what our record is going to be at the end of this year. But praise God, we can have any blemishes, any sins that we may have committed, any blunders that occurred, we can have these all forgiven and hid in Christ Jesus before it's too late. So welcome, dear ones, and also Sabbath greetings to those that are joining us on the phone or on the recording of today's service. I'm glad to have each one of you in fellowship today. Our opening song is titled, He Leadeth Me. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. O words with heavenly comfort fraught, whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis Christ's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me.
Sometimes, mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes, where Eden's bowers bloom, by waters still or troubled sea, still 'tis His hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me.
Lord, I would clasp my hand in Thine, nor ever murmur or repine. Content whatever lot I see, since 'tis Your hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower be, for by His hand He leadeth me.
And when my task on earth is done, when by Thy grace Thy victory's won, in death's cold wave I will not flee, since Thou in triumph leadest me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
Amen. Thank you, dear Savior, for leading and guiding us into all truth, away from all error, on that straight, narrow, upward path leading to eternal life with you. What a blessed thought. Well, dear ones, please join with me in opening prayer. Precious Father, thank you so very much for being in control of all things. Thank you that we can rest in your love and not be consumed with worry and distrust and fear of the future and what it may hold. Thank you for revealing yourself in Jesus. And thank you, Savior, for showing and manifesting to us the marvelous love of you and our Father. Love that is above all earthly love. A love that is infinite, full, and rich. I pray that you will send your Spirit to be with us, to open our eyes, our understanding, our comprehension. And Spirit, please be our guide, our teacher today. Help us indeed to grow in grace, to increase in trust of your leadership. Please write the word of God in our hearts and our minds. And please write it so distinctly that it cannot be forgotten or forsaken, that it may become the guide of our life, that our goal may be to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of our God. May we choose, and it is written, over what anyone else may tell us is the truth. Because your scriptures never lie. It is the sure guide to life everlasting. It is Jesus being manifested to us. It is your character being revealed. And thank you for the grace and the strength to give up what we think is truth in order to follow the truth. Thank you for warning us that the devil has a myriad of different ways to deceive and mislead precious souls. Thank you for giving us the written word that we can compare what anyone may tell us or what we may read by a thus saith the Lord and determine whether it is in harmony with the law and the testimony, or is out of harmony and thus is unsafe to follow. And please help us to establish the habit of testing every bit of doctrine by your word of truth. It's the only way that we can avoid being deceived in these last days of darkness. Thank you for the great blessing of being able to come together and to dig into thy word of inspiration without being harassed, without it being a breaking of the laws of men. Thank you that we still have such freedom and help us to cherish these times. But we thank you that we can each have thy word for our own, to study it by ourselves in private, and to learn for ourselves what your will and truth is. It's nice to have fellowship, Father. It's a great blessing. But we have to become individually established on the rock Christ Jesus in order to gain salvation. So we thank you for being here in our midst. Thank you, Spirit, for opening our understanding. Please impress the truth upon our hearts and help us to see clearly that straight, upward, narrow path where Christ is leading us to heaven and eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, again, Sabbath blessings, dear ones. And the subject for today that I was impressed to give is dealing with the Sunday law. And it's specifically dealing with the issue of, should we wait for the Sunday law to be passed before we act upon giving the message of salvation? So should we wait for something to occur before we act, or should we act before the Sunday law occurs? That's what we're going to be focusing this sermon upon today. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and the quotes I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/SDA, so those three letters capitalized, /ID1279.htm. So lightministries.com/SDA/ID1279.htm. And what every one of us needs to understand is this very important point of truth. And that is that the message of Revelation 18:1-6, if you look at quote number one, is to be sounded forth in the loud cry of the third angel. That's Testimonies, Volume 8, page 118. So the message of Revelation 18 is to be sounded forth in the loud cry of the third angel. Now, some are teaching that the loud cry cannot occur until after the Sunday law is passed. And because the Sunday law hasn't yet been passed, then no one is to separate themselves in following that message. They're not to leave any of the corrupt and apostate churches that make up Babylon the Great. They're to remain within these churches until the Sunday law is passed, because the loud cry cannot be given until after the Sunday law is passed, and the loud cry calls them out of the corrupt churches. So no one is to leave yet. But others are teaching that the loud cry has already begun to swell. It's already time to separate from all the fallen Babylonian churches and obeying God's message in Revelation 18. So then, who are we to believe? And dear ones, we must get away from the notion that we have to believe some human teacher when any controversy comes about, including this current controversy. We have to believe what someone else tells us is the truth. Because if we do so, then we're going to be in danger of being led away We're going to be in danger of following friends or some emotional attachment to some human being or some charismatic person who may preach really well or who may dress really smart. We're going to be led away if we look to human beings for what is truth. So each one of us must get to the point where we put away all human influence and we find out what is truth for ourselves. And the only true source of truth is found in the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. So we must go to God's word to find out what is truth in this issue and every other issue. So then what does inspiration state about when the loud cry is to be given? Has it yet begun to swell? Or are we to wait for it to swell until after the Sunday law is passed? Well, let's see what God says. In Review and Herald of March 22, 1892, we're told, the third angel's message is swelling into a loud cry. Well, that was in 1892. There was no Sunday law passed. There still is no Sunday law passed. And yet God told us that the third angel's message is swelling into a loud cry. Here's another passage. This is Review and Herald, November 22, 1892. The time of test is just upon us, for the loud cry of the third angel has already begun in the revelation of the righteousness of Christ, the sin-pardoning Redeemer. This is the beginning of the light of the angel whose glory shall fill the whole earth. Now the glory of the angel that fills the earth is Revelation 18. So these passages have told us that this last message of mercy of Revelation 18 was already swelling into a loud cry. And that the loud cry of the third angel had already begun. And this was during Ellen White's lifetime. And it was way before the Sunday law. In fact, the Sunday law hasn't yet been passed. So here we are about 130 years after we're told that the loud cry of the third angel had already begun, was already swelling into a loud cry. Quite amazing, isn't it? Now, please don't believe that I'm stating that the fullest extent of the loud cry took place at that time, because it did not happen then, and its fullness has still not yet occurred. But it did start. It was already beginning to lighten some of the earth with its glory. So it wasn't at its loudest point, but it had already begun. If you look at quote number two, we're told in Selected Messages, book two, page 114, the work to be done now is that of sounding this last message of mercy to a fallen world. They, or God's servants, will not be turned from the present message, which is already lightening the world with its glory. So what I want you to understand in these passages is that even though the loud cry was not at its loudest sounding, and it had not yet reached its greatest intensity, or was not yet at its fullest swelling, this did not mean that it had not already begun to swell. And since the loud cry had already started when there was no Sunday law that had yet been passed, it clearly shows us all that the loud cry is not bound about, that it doesn't have to wait until some future event takes place, such as the Sunday law. It can be given now. And it was already being given in Ellen White's lifetime. Why are we still here today? It's because the Adventist church leadership turned their backs on the realization that it was already time to give the loud cry in their day. And they instead chose to ridicule, criticize, slight, and reject this message. So then the loud cry couldn't continue to increase. It couldn't continue to swell. It couldn't continue to fill the earth with its glory. And if you can just imagine, dear ones, God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and all the heavenly angels were waiting for more Adventists to follow the spirit of prophecy and rise up and give this message to the world. Back in 1892. But not enough were willing to do so. And so the loud cry could not swell into its fullest extent. That's why we're still here. So the Adventist church, instead of accepting these messages and swelling the loud cry, chose to reject the message. And this includes all the way up to the present time. They're still rejecting it. So then God has taken another course. God is now calling all his honest Adventist people to come out of the corporate body of the fallen Adventist church so that they can then take up the work of spreading the loud cry message, swelling it to its fullest extent, and finishing the work of God by lightening this dark world with the glory of the angel of Revelation 18. The Adventist church has had 100+ years, and she still fails to do what God says to do. So God has now rejected the church, has given his work to others. The question is, will you accept the truth that the loud cry is now to be given? And will you go forward in giving this message to others and thus help finish the work? God has distinctly declared in very plain language to all of his people that the message of Revelation 18 is now to be given. If you look at quote number 3. From Last Day Events, page 83. And this Last Day Events is not the conference edition. This Last Day Events came out before the conference published their book titled Last Day Events. This is page 83. This is from Manuscript 75, September 20, 1906. You can also find part of it quoted in the book Upward Look, page 277. Listen closely. All are to hear the last message of warning. The prophecies in the book of Revelation, chapters 12 to 18, are being fulfilled. In the 18th chapter is recorded the very last call to the churches. This call is now to be given. That was in 1906. You know, how much more plainly can God state it? This call is now to be given. But dear ones, there will always be doubters. There will always be some who allow the devil to get them to believe that when God says now, he really means later. Does God lie? Does God mislead his people? The answer, of course, is no. It's impossible for God to lie. So then if God has said, now is the time for his people to give the message of the loud cry in Revelation 18. He means now. He doesn't mean later. But here's some other testimonies stating the very same thing. Let's go with the weight of evidence here. If you look at quote number 4. In Signs of the Times, volume 3, page 165, dated November 19, 1894, we're told that the time has come to sound the loud cry. In Fundamentals of Christian Education, on page 362, dated March 21, 1895, the last call of mercy and warning is now to be given. In Review and Herald, volume 3, page 593, dated July 26, 1898, the time has come to give this message, which is the special work of his church. From manuscript release number 311, page 47, this is manuscript 177, dated 1899. The time has come to give this message of Revelation 18. From Manuscript Releases, Volume 9, page 290. This is Letter 28, February 17, 1900. The message of Revelation 18 is the message for this time. In Manuscript Releases, Volume 9, page 290, this is Letter 86, June 18, 1900. Revelation 18 is now to be given to all parts of the world. From Manuscript Releases, Volume 10, page 315, this is Letter 121, August 13, 1900. Today, we are to be announcing the message of the third and fourth angel. Continuing. From Review and Herald, Volume 4, page 251, dated January 1, 1901, first of the year in 1901. The time has come to give this message of warning. From Review and Herald, Volume 5, page 61, this is July 28, 1904. We are to advance the proclamation of this message. In Manuscript Releases, Volume 10, page 219, this is dated September 17, 1909. The time has come to give this last warning message. And then Prophets and Kings, page 187, it's also found in Review and Herald, Volume 6, page 382, dated November 20, 1913. The message for today is Revelation 18. So God, through Sister White, stated under inspiration that Revelation 18 is already the message for today, that it was now to be given. Because the loud cry of the third angel had already begun, was already swelling into a loud cry, and was already lightening the earth with its glory. How much more clear can God be? But it was also revealed that there would be some perverse men among the Adventist church, among the independent ranks, among those that believe present truth, there would be some perverse men who would try to divert this message from being given until some time in the future. And so the loud cry would have to struggle and to try and lighten the earth with its glory because there was not enough voices to give it. So then the question comes up. Are you one of these perverse people who are working to hinder this glorious message of Revelation 18 from going forth because you believe that it's not yet time for the loud cry to be given? Or are you one of those who are awake and desire to give this message now because God says to, so that the loud cry can swell and fill this earth to the glory of God? Dear ones, we're living in the time of the swelling of the loud cry. And God is holding out to each one of us the blessed honor and privilege to have a part now in helping to swell this message to the loudest cry possible, to now fill this earth with the glory of God. I mean, what blessed possibilities are held out to you and me and to others today? All we have to do is grasp them. To submit to God's will and then raise our voices in giving the message he says to give. Don't allow the devil to keep you in a position of inaction, believing in a futuristic doctrine that it's not yet time for the latter rain to fall, that it's not yet time for the loud cry to be given, that it's not yet time for the last message of mercy to go forth to all the world. Or that it's not yet time for probation of all the churches to be closed. Or that it's not yet time to separate. Or the beginning of the loud cry is not yet here. Because everything that I have shared has already come. If you look at quote number 5. In Selected Messages, Book 2, page 114. The work to be done now is that of sounding this last message of mercy to a fallen world. The work will grow deeper and become more earnest to the very close of time. And all who are laborers together with God will contend most earnestly for the faith once delivered to the saints. They will not be turned from the present message, which is already lightening the earth with its glory. Nothing is worth contending for but the glory of God. The only rock that will stand is the rock of ages. The truth as it is in Jesus is the refuge in these days of error. So our refuge is in the truth. And the truth is that it's time to give the loud cry. Here's another quote. This is from Fundamentals of Christian Education, page 362 and 363. The messenger, this is a heavenly messenger, turned to the congregation and said, "Do you believe the prophecies? Do you, who know the truth, understand that the last message of warning is now being given to the world? The last call of mercy is now being heard? Do you believe that Satan has come down with great power, working with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in every place? Do you believe that great Babylon has come up in remembrance before God? And that soon she will receive from God's hand double for all her sins and iniquities? If the enemy can keep workers out of the field on any pretext, he will do so. So the heavenly messenger, this is in vision that Ellen White saw, the heavenly messenger turned to the Adventist congregation and said, "It's now time to give the last message of warning and the loud cry. And the devil will do anything he can to keep you from doing so." Quite amazing, dear ones. Over 100 years ago. And it's still taking place. What you need to understand is that this Babylon message in Revelation 18 allows everyone to clearly distinguish between those who are following and working for God versus those who are following and working for the devil. God says, go forward and preach the loud cry. The devil says, stay where you are and don't preach it. So now all you have to do is examine the messages of individuals claiming to be preaching the truth. Are they giving the last message of mercy? If they're not, then they're working for the devil. I mean, how much more clear can you be? So then, where are you in this scenario? Are you working for God? Do you desire to work for God? Then plainly and boldly give the message that Babylon is the church, fallen because of her errors and sins, because of her rejection of the truth sent to her from heaven. But if you won't preach that message, may God wake you out of sleep. May God do everything that he possibly can to break the spell of inactivity that the devil has you in. I pray that you will realize your dire situation. May the Spirit open your eyes to clearly understand the times in which we live. And then grant you the grace and the courage to stand up for God, be counted on his side, and then give your message that God states for you to give. So if what you're hearing today is really true, that it is time to give the loud cry message of Revelation 18. What will this message do? Remember, the Sunday law is not here, and yet it's time to give the message. What will this do in giving this message? Let's see what God declares. If you look at quote number 6. This is from Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 4, page 424 and 425. It's also in Great Controversy. I think it's page 606 and 607. The sins of Babylon will be laid open. The fearful results of a union of church and state, the inroads of spiritualism, the stealthy but rapid progress of the papal power, all will be unmasked. By these solemn warnings, the people will be stirred. In other words, they're awaked. They're awoken. They're no longer sleeping. They're stirred now. Continuing. Thousands upon thousands have never listened to words like these. In amazement, they hear the testimony that Babylon is the church, fallen because of her errors and sins, because of her rejection of the truth sent to her from heaven. The people go to their former teachers with the eager inquiry, are these things so? The ministers present fables, prophesy smooth things to soothe their fears and quiet the awakened conscience. But many refuse to be satisfied with the mere authority of men and demand a plain, thus saith the Lord. The popular ministry, like the Pharisees of old, are filled with anger as their authority is questioned. They denounce the message as of Satan and stir up the sin-loving multitudes to revile and persecute those who proclaim it. As the controversy extends into new fields, the minds of the people are called to God's downtrodden law. Satan is astir. The power attending the message only maddens those who oppose it. The clergy put forth almost superhuman efforts to shut away the light, lest it should shine upon their flocks. By every means at their command, they endeavor to suppress the discussion of these vital questions. The church appeals to the strong arm of civil power, and in this work, papists are solicited to come to the help of Protestants. The movement for Sunday enforcement becomes more bold and decided. The law is invoked against commandment keepers. What came first? The preaching of the message that Babylon is the church. In other words, Revelation 18, the loud cry message. Then the law was invoked against commandment keepers. The message is given first, and then this brings on the passing of the Sunday law. It is not the passing of the Sunday law that signals the time to give the loud cry message. And the spirit of prophecy where this passage appears was printed in 1884. About 10 years before it was time to give the loud cry. God was trying to prepare his people. And the devil was very successful in keeping the people from recognizing the truth. So the message of the third and fourth angel is given first. This message awakens the wicked and the good people in the world. The wicked fight against the message. They appeal to the civil government, and the Sunday law is then passed. If you look at quote number 7. Today, as in the days of Elijah, the line of demarcation between God's commandment-keeping people and the worshiper of false gods is clearly drawn. How long halt ye between two opinions, Elijah cried. If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. 1 Kings 18:21. And the message for today is, Babylon the great is fallen. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Revelation 18, 2, 4, and 5. In other words, probation's closed for the church. Continuing. The time is not far distant when the test will come to every soul. The observance of the false Sabbath will be urged upon us. So again, inspiration has clearly revealed that the Revelation 18 message of the loud cry is given first. And then this truth causes a controversy that will end up in bringing the Sunday law crisis to every soul. So it's not what the majority of the independent ministers and ministries have been telling people for ages, that the Sunday law comes first and then this tells us it's time to give the loud cry. But it's just the opposite. It's that it's giving the message of the loud cry that brings on the passing of the Sunday law. So the truth is just the opposite of what the Adventist church leadership have been teaching for decades, and just opposite of what the majority of the independent ministries and ministers have been teaching the people. God says it's time to give the message now. The devil says, no, it's not time to give the message. It will be in the future, but not yet. And so here we are, 130 years later, when we could have already been in heaven. We need to study for ourselves instead of placing our faith in men who have been misleading us. Instead of placing our faith in churches that have been misleading us. I pray that we learn the lesson now rather than later, because it may be too late. God may set us aside just as he set all the churches aside and choose others who will be obedient to his name, his truth, and give the message. Babylon the Great is fallen, come out of those fallen churches so that you won't become a partaker of her sins and be lost. So that you can avoid receiving her punishment of plagues. Because probation has already closed for them. God is calling you out. So it is the giving of the loud cry that brings the crisis of the Sunday law. It is not the crisis of the Sunday law that signals for the loud cry to be given. So, dear ones, God says it's time to give it. Will you follow God? Will you be one who rises up, obeys, and then loudly proclaims these life and death messages of the third and fourth angel to any who will hear? To all, whether they will accept it or reject it? God is asking you, what are you going to do? You look at quote number 8 from Last Day Events from the Letters and Manuscripts of E.G. White, page 190. Again, this is not the conference edition. This is letter 94, July 3, 1900. We have the truth. In other words, it's a truth already known back in 1900. We have the truth, which, in its proclamation, is to bring the crisis for this world's history. So we're not to wait for the crisis to occur before we give the truth. We're to give the truth, which will then bring the crisis. God told us in 1900, it's time to give the message of the loud cry. It's giving that message that will bring the crisis of the Sunday law. Will you do so? You look at quote number 9. Testimonies, volume 6, page 19. The message presented at this time is the last message of mercy for a fallen world. Those who have the privilege of hearing this message and persist in refusing to heed the warning cast away their last hope of salvation. There will be no second probation. And that is why there's such an intense and unceasing battle going on for the control of minds right now. Probation is closing upon those who decidedly reject the separation message of the loud cry. There's no second chance. Those who accept the message have the precious privilege of escaping from Babylon directly into the arms of Jesus. They have a chance for salvation. But those who hear the message and decidedly persist to refuse to heed it are losing their salvation. That's why there's such a intense battle going on right now for the control of your mind. And sadly, the majority of Adventists will reject this Revelation 18 message. They will refuse to separate from their Babylonian church. They will follow in the same footsteps of the harlot churches that they came out from. And they will continue to mislead precious souls to lose salvation until it is forever too late for them to wake up and change. And there will be others, even in our own separated ranks, who will tell you that you have to remain within the Babylonian church until they kick you out or until the Sunday law comes, and then you can leave. But who are you going to believe? God tells you the church has fallen, come out of her. Are you going to wait for some other event to happen before you follow God? Are you going to wait for someone to tell you to follow God? Or are you going to follow God? It is a sad reality that the harvest is going to pass people by. Judgment is going to be pronounced upon them while they still live. And their last hope of salvation will be gone forever because there is no second probation. And when these people finally wake up, they'll realize that they are forever lost. And what a sorrowful awakening that will be. God even warns us. If you look at quote number 10 in Jeremiah 8:20, this is taken from volume 8 of the Testimonies, page 252. There are many, many in our churches, talking about Seventh-day Adventists. There are many, many in our churches who know little of the real meaning of the truth for this time. Oh, how many who have not sought their soul's salvation will soon make the bitter lamentation. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. They make that bitter lamentation while they still live. Not after they have died and then are raised. while they still live, which means probation closed upon them while they still lived, which means that judgment had to be pronounced upon them while they still lived. But why can't our Adventist people realize this solemn reality of what is taking place right now? Why can't they see the issues as God sees them instead of as what other men have told them? The harvest message of the loud cry is going forth right now. Some will awaken. They will study for themselves. They will accept this precious message and will be harvested out of the doomed harlot church. Some others may awaken. They may study for themselves, but then they reject this Babylon message and remain in the church. The harvest will pass them by. The summer will end. In other words, probation will close. And they will be left to suffer the same punishment as their harlot church, which is the plagues. So it is this message of Revelation 18 that is the harvest message. And the devil, along with all of his deceiving agents within all of the churches throughout Christendom, including in the independent ranks, are doing their utmost to keep God's people sleeping and prevent them from hearing and following this life and death message. And thus the harvest will pass them by. And they will be lost forever. Are you waiting for the harvest? It's already here. And it's passing you by. If you look at quote number 11. From Last Day Events, page 78. Again, this is not the conference edition of Last Day Events. This is letter 86, June 18, 1900. The message must go from east to west and from west to east again. A great shaking must come up. The professed believers in the truth for this time are asleep. What wakes them up? The message of the angel, referring to Revelation 18, the message of the angel following the third is now to be given to all parts of the world. It is to be the harvest message. What's the harvest message? The message of Revelation 18, the loud cry. It is to be the harvest message, and the whole earth will be lightened with the glory of God. The Lord has this one last call of mercy to give to the world. But the perversity of men diverts the work from its true bearing, and the light has to struggle amid the darkness of men who feel themselves competent to do a work that God has not appointed them to do. So what wakes people up in all the churches, including the Adventist church, is the loud cry message. And this message is going from one area to another area, trying to fill this dark world with the glory of God. The Lord is calling his people to go to work in living and preaching this message. But the devil has other men in the vast majority who believe they know better than God. And so they're telling people it's not yet time to leave the fallen church. It's not yet time to give the loud cry. It's not yet time to be harvested because we have to wait for the Sunday law. But God says, the harvest begins for you when you hear the message that calls you out of the Babylonian churches. And your salvation is determined by how you treat this message. So this means that the harvest is taking place now. Not at some future time. Not after the Sunday law is passed. The harvest occurs when you hear this message of the loud cry. And you are hearing it today. What are you going to do? How are you going to treat this message? I pray that you can see the seriousness of the time in which we are now living in. Not the seriousness of what takes place after the Sunday law is passed, but the seriousness of the time in which we live now. It's harvest time. People are being judged while they still live to either have life or eternal death. What is your choice, dear ones? I pray life in Christ, in the truth, in following the truth, in living by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, in joining Christ outside the gates, outside the church, and then continue following the Lamb whithersoever he leads you. You look at quote number 12. We're told in Hebrews 4:7, today, not after the Sunday law, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of your salvation. Praise God for letting us know. Praise God for the spirit of prophecy to let us know. Praise God for preserving his word so that we can read it for ourselves and know. And praise God for his long-suffering mercy, or we'd all be lost. What a God of love we have, the privilege to serve. Our closing song is I'll Go Where You Want Me to Go. It may not be on the mountain high or over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front. My Lord will have need of me. But if by a still small voice he calls, to pass that I do not know. I'll answer, dear Lord, with my hand in thine. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, over mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be.
Perhaps today there are loving words which Jesus would have me speak. There may be now in the paths of sin some wonder whom I should see. O Savior, if thou wilt be my guide, though dark and rugged the way, my voice shall echo the message sweet. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, over mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. Be what you want me to be. There's surely somewhere in a lonely place, in herds of its fields so wide, where I may labor through life's short stay for Jesus the crucified. So trust in my all to thy tender care, and know when thou lovest me, I'll do thy will with a heart sincere. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, over mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be.
Amen. It all depends on how much you love the Lord as to how much you will follow him. I pray 100%, dear ones. 99% is not enough. It has to be with the whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. Everything is possible through Christ and his grace, even overcoming mountains that seem impassable. All things are possible in Christ. Please join with me in closing prayer. Loving Father, thank you so very much for the great blessing of your mercy, your long-sufferingness, your compassion, your love. Thank you for winking at the time of our ignorance, but holding out the message of salvation, calling us to wake up. leading us into the truth, directly to the Savior who says, follow me. Thank you also for giving us thy Spirit, and thank you, Spirit, for pricking our hearts when we don't understand something we should, or when we want to go in a different direction than what God would have us take. Please continue to bring conviction and conversion. Continue to reprove and correct and instruct us in the way of truth and righteousness. Forgive us for all the times that we've grieved you and spurned you and done despite to you, when you are trying to wake us up for our good, for our welfare, for our salvation. Forgive us for allowing the loud, boisterous voices from all kinds of different angles to prevent us from taking the time to calmly listen for your still small voice of guidance. Please help us to hear your voice louder. Help us to be in the habit of listening. And especially help us to be in the habit of testing everything that people tell us by the law and the testimony. Not just accepting what we're told, but testing it. And only accepting it if it's in harmony with the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. If it doesn't agree, then no matter how long it may be believed, no matter how many people may teach it, no matter how old and crusty it may be as a church doctrine, it's not the truth. It's darkness. Thank you for thy precious inspired word. Please continue to lead and guide us. Continue to open our eyes. Continue to uplift Jesus before us. And Savior, please grant us the eye salve that we need to see clearly. Remove our filthy garments and put upon us thy precious robe of righteousness, or we're going to be lost. Help us indeed to love you enough to follow you whithersoever you lead the way. And thank you for leading and guiding us, for yoking yourself together with us, that we're not alone. We're with you. And that's all that matters. If we have you, we have life. If we don't have you, we're lost. Thank you for your love and interest in each one of our lives, enough to unite yourself with us, so that we're not alone. What a loving Savior you are. I pray, dear Father, that you will send your heavenly angels as well as your mighty Spirit to be with those that are still in darkness. Awaken them, prepare their hearts for the reception of this harvest message of the loud cry. Be also with those who have heard the message but don't recognize its importance, and please awaken them to the value of this message. Be with those who have heard it and rejected it because it didn't agree with their understanding. please trouble their hearts and lead them to restudy this message and open their eyes, break the spell that is keeping them in unbelief, and let them see the thus saith the Lord. Thank you so much for doing so. And we pray, dear Spirit, that you will lessen the power of deception that the devil and his agents have over our precious people. Break the darkness and allow the light to shine into their hearts. Thank you so much for doing so. Thank you, Father, for digging us out of the pit and placing our feet on the solid rock, Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Praise God for his truth, dear ones. It's just amazing how much of the religious world the devil has deceived and in his control versus how small an amount of people God has awakened and chosen them to bear his message to the world. What a distinct privilege and honor it is to be called out and follow Christ. Nothing else worthy, nothing else of such value than that message of mercy. Are there any questions, any comments, any thoughts, testimonies, songs, insights that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please go right ahead.
The fact that we're Sabbath keepers, we keep the seventh day Sabbath, following Jesus in everything we do, sets us apart. That is the message that we're supposed to give. That's the loud cry.
And you know, this message calling you out of a fallen church or out of Babylon is nothing new. It's happened several times before in history. God called his people out of Egypt, which was part of Babylon. Babylonian in belief. And you know the history of that Exodus. God separated his light from darkness all the way back in the beginning of creation. God called Lot and his relatives out of Sodom and Gomorrah. God called Israel out of Babylonian captivity. And you know, when you read that history, the priests, the elders, the scribes, the lawyers were among the last to receive that message. It was the common people who were among the first to receive that message and to leave Babylon. You have the same separation message of the early Christian church from the corrupt Jewish church. You have the same separation message of the Protestant churches from the corrupt Catholic church. You have the same message being followed by the Adventists from the corrupt Protestant churches. You have now the same message calling people not just to leave the corrupt Adventists, but all of the corrupt churches. And join Christ outside. the bridegroom came and gave a message to leave where you were and to join him. The midnight cry. Go ye out to meet him. That meant that Christ was not in the company of the wise and the foolish virgins. He was outside their company. They professed to be waiting for him, but they were caught sleeping, and it was only the wise who left their company and joined the bridegroom. They had their lamps all trimmed and burning, so now Christ was being illuminated in a greater way as more and more joined him. It's the same with us, dear ones. May we let our light shine to illuminate Christ by leaving all of the fallen churches and joining him. Dear ones, are there any further thoughts or comments that you'd like to share?
Well, I believe that it's only right, really, to take a moment and thank you all for keeping me in prayer in a trying time. I know there's still a little ways to go. And I'm thankful that I stirred myself up by God's grace to be able to be here today. I know the adversary want me and did not want me to hear being taught. So I'm thankful for that, but I really thank each and every one of you. I don't ever want it to be heard that I'm not thankful for all that you have heard about. Really am. And it's a difficult day, but I'm holding on, and I'm trying to hold on to faith that the Lord will not forget, and he will not abandon me. Those are thoughts that I have, but I know God is good, and I know that he is full of love. It's myself. And so I pray that you please keep remembering me in prayer as these weeks go by. And I will do my best also for you all too. I'm very thankful. I really wanted you to know.
Amen. And thank you for your prayers for us as well, dear brother. I'm so happy to have you in our fellowship once again.
Elder Rob, I was just thinking that many may be think that is a grand thing that they have to do because it's like sound the loud the message of the loud cry, right? But you can sound it by just telling one peer or two peers to come out of the church and give them that message, and that is you sounding the cry for this. Is just be encouraged that when we have the opportunity to be able to give a little light of what we know to be true to someone, that is us sounding the message of mercy for those that we come encounter with every day. It was just impressed upon my heart because I know sometimes we think it's a grand work. We have to get the trumpets and we have to march around and we have to go and yell it on the top of the mountains. But it could be in the little things that we do. And even if we reach one person, we have sounded that cry.
Amen. Amen. You know, when I was studying in the spirit of prophecy, she brought forth a thought about evangelism. She says, if you go forth and you reach 100 people You give them the message, but only one out of that 100 accepts it. So just 1%. She goes, you are doing fantastic evangelistic work for God. Just one out of 100, you're doing fantastic, right? So the message has gone to 100. That's a great work to reach 100 people. But if just one accepts the message, it's fantastic work. So don't give, yeah, amen. All heaven rejoices for that one. So don't become discouraged if you've reached 100 people or 99 people and you don't know a single one that has accepted the truth. Don't become discouraged. Because God knows the heart. And don't become discouraged. Amen. It's the quantity. It's not the quantity. It's the quality that matters with God. Amen. So if you've reached 10,000 and you don't know of a single one, don't become discouraged. God has a work for the sowers. And after they've sowed seed in a particular field, they then move on to the next field. They don't stick around to see the results of their sowing. They just continue sowing. So even though there were an abundance of seeds that were sown and sprouted up and produced fruit, the sowers never know. They just take it on faith that God is going to watch out for the seeds, is going to make sure that some sprout and grow and produce an abundance of a harvest. They take it by faith. They look unto him who has called them to do a certain work, and they're content in doing that work because of their love for the husbandman, for God. There's others whose job is to reap. So the seed's been sown, it's produced grain, and it's come to harvest. Their job is to go in and harvest the people out of the field, harvest the seed, the ripened grain out, right? They get to see a whole lot of individuals won to God. But the sowers may not. So don't become discouraged if you don't know of a single person that has accepted the truth that you've shared with them. Be content and happy in the fact that you've let your light shine in illuminating Jesus to however many people you've done so. Let God take care of what happens to the truth that's been sown into the hearts of those individuals. So if you get just one out of 100, that is fantastic work. You can be happy in that work. If you don't know of even one, you can be happy in the fact that you've let your light shine and God now is in control of sending others to reap, to harvest out. His word will not fail to accomplish the purpose for which it was given. That's his promise. You can rely on that promise being carried out to the fullness of what's possible with God upon hearts. So, amen, dear sister. It's not, Ellen White also talks about, it's not in how great an effort or how expensive was the effort that matters with God. It's how the message was presented. And if the message lives within you, then the Spirit will empower that message to all who hear it. So it's not in the grand display that reaches hearts. It's in the connection of the messenger to Christ that matters. Any other thoughts or comments, dear one?
May I see the Psalms? I'd like to see a Psalm that I haven't sung in a while. Is I'll witness for you. Let's see. I found it over here. I'll witness for Jesus, I'll stand at his side, the friend and defender of Christ crucified. My heart will be faithful, and faithful my hand, I'll witness forever, by Jesus I'll stand. I'll witness for Jesus, I'll speak his sweet name, his power I'll tell, and his love I'll proclaim. My voice will be strong, and my voice won't be still, till Christ's kingdom come, and his mission fulfilled. Witness for Jesus, speak his word, tell of his grace and glory. Witness for Jesus, sing his name, tell of the world his story. I'll witness for Jesus, I'll speak his sweet name, his power I'll tell, and his love I'll proclaim. My voice will be strong, and my voice won't be stilled, till Christ's kingdom come, and his mission fulfilled. Witness for Jesus, speak his word, tell of his grace and glory. Witness for Jesus, sing his name, tell the world his story.
Yes, dear Sister Rose, go right ahead.
He is the rock, he is the rock, he is the rock, his work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. Our God of truth without iniquity, just and right is he. Jesus is the life, Jesus is the truth, Jesus is the truth, his work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. Our God of truth without iniquity, just and right is he. Christ is my rock, Jesus is the truth, Jesus is the truth, his work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. Our God of truth without iniquity, just and right is he. May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, everyone, and God bless you.
God bless you too, my daughter. You're not able to see me because I'm still crossed upside down.
That's okay, dear brother. We're just glad and happy that you're with us in fellowship.
Good to hear your voice.
I was waiting, my twin, to relate to you why I was going to Facebook, and they usually put each person for you to get, I guess, connected with. And I saw a photo of you with a gentleman. I presume that was your husband?
My best friend, dear twin.
Okay. I just wondered.
Before he died, he confessed that Jesus was God's son. And I was so happy to hear him say that because he did not believe in God when I first met him, and before he died, he did. Praise God for that friendship.
Praise God for sharing a very wonderful moment.
Before Brother Dick sings us away, here's one more hymn. Oh, where are the reapers that garner in the sheaves of the good from the fields of sin? With sickles of truth must the work be done, and no one may rest till the harvest home. Where are the reapers, or who will come and share in the glory of the harvest home? Oh, who will help us to garner in the sheaves of the good from the fields of sin? Go out in the byways and search them all. The wheat may be there, though the weeds are tall. Then search in the highway and pass none by, but gather from all for the home on high. You can sing the refrain.
Where are the reapers, who will come and share in the glory of the harvest home? Oh, who will help us to garner in the sheaves of good from the fields of sin?
The fields are ripening far and wide. The world now is waiting the harvest tide. But reapers are few, the work is great, and much will be lost must shed the harvest way. Where are the reapers? Oh, who will come and share in the glories of the harvest home? Oh, who will help us to garner in the sheaves of good from the fields of sin? So come with the sickles, ye sons of men, and gather together the golden grain. Toil on till the Lord of the harvest come, then share ye his joy in the harvest home. Where are the reapers? Oh, who will come and share in the glory of the harvest home? Oh, who will help us to garner in the sheaves of good from the fields of sin?
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. It's one of those old hymns that hasn't been sung very, very much, but it's got a really good message. Dear ones, have a wonderful Sabbath day. Looking forward to fellowshipping with you again soon. Keep growing in grace. Keep letting your light shine and draw ever closer to the Savior, that you may have life more abundantly. Looking forward to being in fellowship with you again. Until then, dear ones, keep looking up.
Keep looking up. Thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up. He will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up. The darkest cloud will disappear. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.